Tiffany and you. White boy stew. Got my co-host Slayin' with me too. Tiffany and you. Time to go to class at the Tiffany and you. Once a week on Wednesday at the Tiffany and you. Talking college sports at the Tiffany and you. White boy is the deacon at the Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. White boy stew. I am the host at the Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. We are all about our students at the Tiffany and you. Ooh. Tiffany and you. White boy stew. Got my co-host Slayin' with me too. Tiffany Network.
Welcome back to class here at the 10 for 10 U. You can follow the 10 for 10 Network on Facebook and Twitter at the 10 for 10 Network. You can follow me, your host, White Boy Stew, on Twitter at GoGators_SNT, or you can follow me on Facebook under my government name. That's Stuart Thompson with the EW, not the U. As always, I am joined by my co-host. You can follow this man on Twitter at Chris_Slayton, or you smack the _ out of there and follow him on Facebook at Chris Slayton. But here at 10 for 10 Network, we just call him Slayton. Slayton, how's it going?
Been a great week of football. Really only have one game to watch.
Hey, and that's not a bad game to watch. And guess what? We'll go ahead and talk about this one game because it's literally the only game to talk about this week unless we went to D2, and we ain't about that life just yet. So we had number 21 Navy versus Army. This one is in Philadelphia, as it is every year. We talked about this one a little bit on our last show, Slayton, just how great this game is, how patriotic it makes you feel, how proud it makes you feel to be an American. So, like I said, we had number 20 Navy versus number nothing Army. Army is not ranked. And Navy pulls it out, gets their 14th straight win over Army, and they win 21-17 in a great game with a lot of twists and turns and a lot of record-breaking, too. And this day was all about Reynolds. It really was. Keenan Reynolds, the quarterback for the midshipmen. He goes 6-14, 113 yards, one touchdown and zero interceptions. So a pretty good day for him, I should say, passing the ball. And he definitely did damage running the ball like he always does. 21 carries, 136 yards, and two touchdowns. He's the only player in Navy history with two 1,000-yard rush and pass seasons together. So that means he has 1,000 in rushing, over 1,000 rushing, I should say, over 1,000 in passing. He did that two seasons in a row. Only player in Navy history. And folks, that's saying something. Obviously, Navy not really known for their football the past probably 30, 40 years, but back way back in the day, some pretty dang good players played at Navy. So for him to do that, that is very impressive. Also sets the record for rush scores with 85 for his career. I believe that's what that is. So that's impressive. And he's the first quarterback in the Army-Navy series to go 4-0. And if you don't know, that's 116 total games, including this one. So your boy, absolutely impressive in all shapes, forms, and fashion in this game. As far as Navy's run game, 41 carries, 199 yards, two touchdowns. And besides Reynolds, it was led by Chris Swan, 15 carries, 62 yards, and no touchdowns. But you look at Army, they hung in there. Navy, obviously, a better team than them. And they actually did not play a super terrible game, I should say. Had Chris Carter, their quarterback, go 9-15, 208 yards, one touchdown and one interception. Also, 22 carries for 18 yards. You say, Stu, that's really not that great of a performance. Well, this is why it's a great performance. The first 200-yard passing game against Navy for Army since 2007. If that don't put perspective to you, I was still in high school. And I have been out of high school for 5, going on 6 years now. So that was a long, long time ago. So the stats might not blow you away, but that is an accomplishment, if you ask me, for an Army team. As far as Army's run game, 44 carries, 137 yards, and one touchdown. And that was led by the duo of Aaron Kemper, 7 carries, 38 yards. And Tyler Campbell, 4 carries, 36 yards, and one touchdown. So Slayton, love this game. I'm glad this game gets the attention. I'm glad it's the only game on this weekend. They get the spotlight. They absolutely deserve it for what they do, not only on the field, but off the field, and all that being in a package deal together. They're the best student athletes in the NCAA. I'm just going to say it. And it's just, it makes you so grateful for everything and all the easy things that we go through in life, and we think, man, it's difficult. We have no clue considering what these kids do to go to school, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they work their tails off. And like you said, it's the greatest game, I believe, all season. It's definitely the most pride-filled game.
Yes, for sure.
It's the only game where you're going to see both teams seeing each other's alma mater at the end.
Yep.
And they hold hands while doing it. It's an amazing feat to watch. It is.
It is.
They're brothers in arms. They mean that. They live it daily. If you haven't seen the actual bit that ESPN did on Lee Corso, man, that right there sums it up. He is a great coach. He's a legend. But that right there, watching that whole bit, gave me chills. I mean, it brought tears to his eyes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, love this game. Love the fact that Army kept it close.
I do, too.
I
like when it's competitive. It makes it so much – the atmosphere just so much better in the capturing of the moment. It just makes it so
does.
Awesome.
And, I mean, the way that Navy, they put their own spin on it this year with the uniforms and the Army countered with their helmets.
Yep.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved every bit of it. It was a great game to watch. The athletes, the atmosphere – it's one of the best games.
And
all
seeing
year.
Reynolds just absolutely do just amazing things.
He did.
Being a mid-state boy just makes you proud. It really does. Just this whole situation altogether. And tough for Army. I know they want to get a win over Navy. Like I said, 14 straight losses against Navy. You know that's hard to take down there in West Point, but they're getting there.
They are. These are two programs that have a lot of respect for each other. Neither one of these coaches had anything negative to say about the other coach.
Yeah, that is true.
And, I mean, if you've got your tail whipped 13 times, normally you got something to say.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, usually a little salty.
Yeah. So, I mean, these two time-honored programs, they really are.
Yep.
I mean, this goes all the way back to Roosevelt.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some history behind this game.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome, just awesome, just all-around football atmosphere. If you didn't catch this game, try to catch it on CBS Sports Network. I know they're going to play it over and over again. Probably play a little bit over the New Year's Eve break. So if you can, try to watch this game because even if you're not a fan of football, if you're just a fan of people being patriotic and just watching people give it their all every single play, this is the game for you. So absolutely awesome game. And like I said, it was close, so that made it even better.
Well, even with some of the games that are going on this week, I'd almost rather watch this replay than I would some of these games.
Very, very true. And we will get to some of those games towards the end of the show. So, Slayton, like I said, that was our only review of the week. No quick hits, nothing like that. So we're going to go ahead and fast forward it, and we're going to touch on the Heisman Trophy ceremony real quick. We obviously touched a lot on this in our last show. Derrick Henry wins 1,986 yards, 23 touchdowns. Not a bad season, but I got two problems with it. One, I think McCaffrey should have won. Obviously, I'm a little biased to him because he's a white running back, and you just don't see those very often. But he did a lot more on the field for his team than I feel that Derrick Henry did. And two, you blew it, Heisman. You could have had a whole segment on Keenan Reynolds, could have had him flying a helicopter. It'd been it would have been must-seen TV. Even if he was fourth or fifth in the voting, whatever, it don't matter. By him winning the fans' vote, that tells me that people want to see him get honored. Even if he doesn't raise the trophy at the end, they just want to see all the things this young man is about. We already know what he's about, but we just want to for him to get the spotlight that he deserves. They really missed it, and I don't like the three either. We talked about that last week, too. Yeah. But when it boils down to it, I'm still okay with Henry winning it because I understand he's on what a lot of people believe to be the best team. I would argue that, but he was impressive when he does get out in the open and when he does just absolutely take over games, which when you get the ball 40, 50 times a game, you are taking the game over.
Yeah, I agree with that. I want to start off my part of the segment by saying congrats to Henry. He definitely earned it. I don't want to take anything away from him. So first off, congrats to him. However, he was not my choice. Even when you compare the stats and what each player meant to their program, McCaffrey had 20 less carries than he did. Everybody harps on the carries. Let's put it this way. McCaffrey had 20 less carries, But he had about 30 more punt returns.
Yep.
About 20 more kick returns.
Derrick Henry only plays offense.
Exactly. And he had a lot more receptions.
Yep.
And, I mean, I know that I'm just comparing apples to apples here, but we can jump on the orange wagon as well with Clemson, who had 41 touchdowns in Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
I mean, that right there is immaculate.
He's a playmaker.
He is. And I don't care what anybody says, Henry can mean everything to his team. He didn't lead them to an undefeated season.
That is true.
So, I mean, apples.
And he's not touching the ball every single play either.
Exactly. And you got to give it up for what Watson's done with that program, but everybody knew that Henry was the favorite coming into this thing. And really, I mean,
because he's on Alabama.
Yeah, and
that's not how it should be.
It's not. There's becoming an Alabama bias. I hate to say it, but it is.
The SEC bias is dead. It's just an Alabama bias now, I'm telling you people.
And it is. I mean, when you really break it down, McCaffrey had the better stats.
Yep.
He had the better accolades, and he meant much more to Stanford than Henry.
He's more productive, if you ask me.
Well, that's the thing. He meant much more to Stanford than Henry means to Alabama.
I agree.
Because the thing is, Alabama could lose Henry, and I guarantee you they're still going to win some games.
Yeah.
Stanford loses McCaffrey, I bet they split half of their games.
Yeah, I agree. I'm totally with you.
Yeah, I just don't understand the whole process behind this. I understand that they want Alabama. Alabama probably has one of the best followings in the country right now.
True.
And everybody likes a winner. But Stanford, I believe McCaffrey deserved it. I really did. If not Watson. What Watson's done this year is amazing. They did not Clemson it one time.
No, they did not.
So they got it done.
And another reason I would like Reynolds in too, we talked about it a little bit last week as well, is all these guys are underclassmen. So let's have the one senior. Even though we all pretty much know he's not going to win, let's honor that guy that stayed in school 4 years.
Conspiracy theory here. Do you believe that they keep putting underclassmen in so that we'll end up getting a two-time Heisman winner?
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening. I really do.
I mean, you look at it, Tebow had a great possibility to win back-to-back Heismans.
Well,
Sam Bradford had a great chance to win back-to-back Heismans. Manziel had a great chance to win back-to-back Heismans. And so did Jameis Winston.
Yep.
And let's be honest, if Henry came back next year, he's got a pretty dang good chance at winning the Heisman. Not saying he's coming back, but if he decided he wanted to, or if any three of these guys had won the Heisman and they all come back, all three of those guys have a great chance to win it again.
Now, I want to say something, and I understand that we're part of the media technically.
Yeah.
But I believe this is some of the media trying to create stories. I really do. And in the fact that
ESPN does have, I wouldn't say a controlling hand in this, but they have a lot of to do with the advertisement of it, the voting, you know, the fan voting part of it, the who's up, who's down ratings of it. So,
well, media,
that's not far-fetched, I don't think.
No, I really do. I believe they've got a hand in manipulating this somehow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just me putting on my tinfoil hat here. but, yeah, I'm not against how the Heisman did it this year. I understand them going with the three.
Three guys deserved it. Yeah, I'm not saying that.
I get that completely. I believe that there still should have been at least one senior invited. Even if it is that consolation, I believe that if you stick with your program for that period of time, you work to make your school better.
I'm pretty sure that they give a lot of consolation prize to a lot of guys on a lot of those big awards, at the end of the season, for all positions. Some of those guys are in there because they're seniors.
Well, that's true. Matakevich, I've heard this all week about him being the gimmick at the linebacker awards. And I'm like, this kid played lights out all year long.
Yeah.
Nobody watched him because he was at Temple.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the one game that me and you watched of Temple, boy, he was all over the field every play.
Yes,
like,
he was.
We had to look this man's name up to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Like, Matakevich is legit.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I don't know. I
see it.
I don't agree with the having three because you're demeaning what the Heisman means.
And you're cutting down on what you can talk about.
Well, that's true.
It makes it boring when there's only three guys there and you basically keep repeating, look, I'm cool with their mom and dads being able to talk and all that jazz, but we don't need to do 15-minute interviews with their parents at the committee.
Is this
or
a
result? Have these nerdy, corny segments where you're trying to crack jokes and it's not funny at all.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that at all. There was one point during the actual ceremony where you had the three guys on stage and they're just basically patting each other on the back, talking about how much each other's idols they are.
See, that's bull.
Yeah, I didn't care anything about that. I wanted to see the players. The night was about the players.
Okay, question. Did you watch the Heisman ceremony?
I did.
I didn't.
I did. But the only reason I watched it was because I watch it every year. And I've watched it
like,
every
year. Literally turned it over with 5 minutes left just so I could see who won.
Well, I mean, I watched a good portion of the actual awards ceremony. If anybody didn't get to see Utah's kicker, funniest man
on
earth.
See, I watched more of that than I did the Heisman.
See, no, I did watch more of that. I flipped back and forth with the Heisman. I did watch the ceremony. But yeah, Heisman.
It's just lost its zing.
It has. And I believe that when you take three guys and you put them as the finalists, you're making it just like every other award.
I agree.
And it shouldn't be that way. It should mean something more. Because
I mean, this is one of the top trophies in all of sports.
It really is. Winning a Heisman is comparative to a Super Bowl and a national championship.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for one man to put his name on a trophy
like
that.
It's like being the NFL MVP for college.
It is.
That's what it is. So, we've harped on the Heisman enough. Y'all can tell we're cool with it, but at the same time, there are some things they could change to make the ceremony, to make what the trophy means. They kind of need to revamp it in some shape, form, or fashion. So, enough on that. But like we said, congratulations, Derrick Henry. He definitely deserved it. We might think some other guys might deserve it a little more, but, you know, it wasn't a crapshoot. You know, he got it because, you know, for some bullcrap. He put stats up. He performed very well. So, congrats to him. So, Slayton, let's hop into our what's up and what's down real quick before we hit a commercial break. Let's go to you first. Let's start it on the down this week. What's your what's down this week?
Yeah, I got Robert Kimdichie from Ole Miss after a marijuana possession. He's running his draft stop.
Synthetic marijuana.
Oh, synthetic.
He's smoking that 7H.
Anyways, he's still running his draft stock. That's just an idiot thing to do. The man probably just lost millions of dollars because he couldn't hold it in until the draft.
Look, people, college athletics out there, I'm just going to go ahead. Look, I understand that the fake synthetic marijuana, I understand it don't show up on your drug test. I understand that. But you're going to get just as much trouble for that stuff as you would the real stuff.
Yep.
Because the synthetic stuff is just as illegal as the real stuff is. There's ways to get around your drug test, and I know a lot of y'all know that because I know a lot of athletes in college smoke marijuana. It's I mean, with this story right here, you can tell this is a guy who probably likes to smoke marijuana, but he doesn't want to miss a bowl game from a random drug test, so he's smoking some fake stuff.
Yep, I just don't get it. He ruined his draft stock. I guarantee you he went from a late first round to probably a second, third round pick.
That's okay.
He's had questions all year about his work ethic.
True.
So I guarantee you he's going to drop.
But we're glad the young man's okay. As much as I just talked crap about him right there, kind of a scary situation, especially falling two stories, was it? You know, four floors up somehow. I mean, and he basically got out barely unscratched for the most part. So kind of lucky there. Well, really lucky, actually.
Yeah, very lucky. I've never fallen two stories.
No, I don't plan on it either.
But, yeah, my other what's down, I got Baylor having to play with a single quarterback again. Johnson in a bowl game. Stidham's not going to be there, not going to be ready. So, Lynx, have your arm ready. You may get another chance.
You best believe they're going to be running some plays for him, and they might throw some trick plays in there just to get his arm warmed up in case the quarterback does go down.
Even when they were playing Texas, I don't understand. If you know you got one quarterback in the bullpen, why are you running that quarterback?
Yeah, that is true.
I just don't understand.
Well, it's because it's just next man up. It's a system. It's all good. But, hey, sometimes you out-coach yourself. So,
sometimes.
My what's down this week, already touched on this, but I feel like McCaffrey got snubbed. I feel like he's more productive, but we've already talked enough about that.
Yep.
And talked enough about this, too. I think Reynolds would have made the Heisman more interesting. Have him leave the Army-Navy game with a victory. Have him flying in on the helicopter, come in with his naval uniform, with all the accolades he had racked up that day. Just would have been – it would have made me watch. Let me put it that way.
Oh, yeah. It would have made for a great ceremony.
And my last what's down, we talked crap about these guys a second, too. ESPN. Not having Vernon Hargreaves on their all-ESPN team for corners.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. The two guys that they have, don't get me wrong, they deserve that honor.
He is literally a first All-American on every single list, all the conference list, everything.
I don't know. Maybe the other guys just meant more to their team. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. But
when people ain't throwing a side of the field, that's pretty important.
Well, that's my thing. If you've got a cornerback that doesn't have the stats because nobody wanted to throw at this kid.
Yep.
So, I don't get it either. But, I mean, ESPN does what they do.
Well, I really don't watch ESPN near as much as I used to. The only time I usually watch ESPN is from 10 to 10:30 for my sports update for the day. And two, when a football or basketball game is on. That's basically it. So, go, what's up, Slayton? What's up this week?
Yeah. So, I'm going to make a bunch of my buddies happy right here.
Okay.
My first what's up is Eason, the number two quarterback recruit sticking with Georgia. Sure,
Boo.
It'll make the buddies proud.
Boo.
Probably not going to make much sense for him to go there. I don't see him having a whole lot of production under Kirby Smart. I just don't.
That was his decision.
My second what's up is that these defensive coaches are now at least getting a chance at some of these top jobs. I like the fact that defensive-minded coaches are bringing back this hard-nosed football.
Defense is important.
It is. And all too often we see, oh, well, they could put up 50 points a game, they'll win the games. No, that's not true. We've seen with Baylor year in, year out. We saw with Oregon year in, year out. TCU, SMU. All these high-scoring teams can't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to see these defensive-minded coaches saying, you know what, if they can't score, they can't win.
That is the key. So my what's up this week, Coach Mack winning Coach of the Year nationally and in the SEC. Absolutely love it. Coach Mack bringing us back. And my other what's up is besides ESPN, because obviously they're too good for Vernon Hargreaves, he's first-team All-American and basically any kind of list you can get. So he's getting a lot of credit. He's moved up from third team, second team. Now he's up to first team. He's improved every year, and he's going to get drafted really, really high. And, folks, I'm just going to go ahead and let you know, unless there's some teams that get impressed by some of these quarterbacks, if the Tennessee Titans are at number one, there's a chance, Slayton.
Yeah, I would go cornerback or safety for the Titans.
And it's going to probably be between Hargreaves or Ramsey, more than likely. If you're picking a cornerback first pick.
I may go Ramsey. He's bigger. I mean, that's the only reason. You got to deal with the Megatrons of the world in the NFL.
Hey, Harger, you got the bunny. So, awesome first little segment of the show. As you can tell, we're running a little condensed version of the show because, honestly, there's just kind of not as much material to go over. But we're going to come back from commercial break, go over our Jersey of the Week. Obviously, you should know what two teams we're going to talk about for Jersey of the Week. And we'll go ahead and give you the first little rundown of bowl games that we're going to pick. And we will also give you some bowl games that we are excited for this bowl season. So we will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get fresh. It's time to get a little clean. We'll go to the man himself, the master, Jason Neely. 13 years of experience as a barber. Haircuts are $12, flat tops are $14. Located in White House, Tennessee at 147 Raymond Hirsch Parkway. Give Jason the master a call today at 615-440-3049.
What it do? It's your boy, White Boy Stu. And if you're having 10 for 10 Network withdrawal Sunday through Friday, it's okay. Because here at the 10 for 10 Network, we have the antidote for you. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at the 10 for 10 Network. If you'd like to follow Johnny on Twitter, it's at Johnny Showtime. If you want to follow me, White Boy Stu, on Twitter, it's at GoGators_SNT. So make sure to like and share. And you never know, you might just hear your name on the air.
Ever wanted some custom furniture or maybe some professional work done to give your house that country feel? Well, check out Johnson's Woodwork in Portland, Tennessee, where they take reclaimed oak and barn wood to spruce up your house. Give David Johnson a call today at 615-419-5350, where the wood is good. Are you looking for a place to train? Looking for a place to become a champion? Well, look no further, as UFC Gym is coming to Hendersonville, Tennessee in early September. UFC Gym offers all kinds of options and specialties for training, such as weights, self-defense, kids' classes, and even highly qualified training in jiu-jitsu. Go by there today or give them a call at 615-348-4150 and tell them the 10 for 10 sent you, because that's where champions are made.
Welcome back to class here at the 10 for 10 U. You can follow the 10 for 10 Network on Twitter and Facebook at the 10 for 10 Network. You can follow me, your host, White Boy Stu, on Twitter at @GoGators_SNT. Or you can follow me on Facebook under my government name. That's Stuart Thompson. That's with the EW and not the U. As always, I want to give a shout out to my family for always holding me down. Shout out to the homie C. Taylor, came through the other day. Shout out to my boy Bobo, he came through the other day. Shout out to my boy Wes, he came and kicked it this weekend. He's excited about the Kirby Smart hiring. I know Cody Taylor, my boy C. Taylor, I know he is too. So shout out to all of them, and shout out to everybody who supports the 10 for 10 Network in any shape, form, or fashion. And I think me and Slate can finally officially announce, be on the lookout for the CST podcast. After the 10 for 10U is over, we kind of hinted towards it last show, that me and Slate, we're going to try to kind of go do our own little production. We're going to try to do kind of a pop culture world, not necessarily world news. We're going to have fun on this podcast. Just talk about whatever. If you got any suggestions, you can hit us up. We're going to try to create a YouTube page, and that's where you can find all the 10 for 10 news, all the stuff we do. We're going to try to get people we know to sing on our YouTube channel. I mean, we're going to have all kinds of stuff. So be on the lookout for everything we got coming up for you. We're going to be doing videos, maybe some music videos for White Boy Stew, some skits, all kinds of crazy stuff. So, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Slayton. You can follow this man on Twitter at @Chris_Slayton, or you can follow him on Facebook at @ChrisSlayton. Slayton, how's it going? You want to give any shout outs?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. Always got to shout out the beautiful Maggie Briley Slayton. We're going to go through and finally get all of this done. All the technical things that we've been working on for 2 weeks.
Yes.
So glad to get the opportunity to get that done.
Yeah.
We got our new email account up at 10for10u@gmail.com.
There you go.
Any hits that you want us to talk about, you let us know. If you got anything college football related, let us know. I guarantee you we'll talk about it.
Or if you kind of want to start throwing us ideas of what you want us to talk about on our other show,
yep,
you can hit us up on the 10for10u email account too. Or if you want us to talk, get deep with your team on their bowl game, hit us up on the email account or hit us up on Facebook. Either yep. way, you do it, we're cool with it. So, jersey of the week. Me and Slayton will have individual ones. We're going to talk about Navy and Army real quick. Navy, the 7 different ships, hand-painted every single helmet. Absolutely beautiful with all the different ships. And then Army with their helmets, they all had basically what they're going into the Army to do. So, they had all kinds of different combinations for each position, I should say, and the uniforms are absolutely balling. Navy with the black, they never do it wrong. And then I said Army, right, with the all black. Army was looking good with the black. But I really liked Navy's. Those are some of the dirtiest helmets, hand-painted, and they looked phenomenal. You could tell what they were. You could even see the little airplanes on the hangers. I mean, they were phenomenal.
Even the ocean uniforms, the blue, yeah, they were nice.
Yeah.
Navy definitely one-upped Army on that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, don't get me confused. I love what Army did with their helmets.
They were simple, clean.
They were. They kept it classy.
Yeah.
So, Navy, shout out to them for the way they did those helmets, though.
Dirtiest of the year?
Yeah, easily the best helmet of the year.
Yeah, for
hands
sure.
down.
For sure.
I don't know. man, Boise's up there. I forgot about that flame helmet with Boise.
That was I still like the hand-painted ship. You ain't never seen nothing like that before.
No, that's true. Yet, I don't know. I was hoping that they were going to talk about why they were doing it.
Yeah.
But they really didn't. And Navy, shout out to them for taking this opportunity to take a shot at the NCAA.
That is true.
Because they pulled one over their eyes. That should have been technically a loss of timeout in two halves.
Yep.
And same thing for Army.
Because not all the uniforms were matching.
It was. And it being an NCAA-regulated game.
Yeah.
It was supposed to happen, but it never
but
did.
But the NCAA would have looked like a bunch of shirts. They would have done that.
Exactly.
That's why that didn't happen.
But,
yeah, absolutely clean. They looked fresh. So, that was me and Slayton's Jersey of the Week. We combined for that one. So, we're going to touch on about four or five bowl games each on the kind of the matchups we're really excited to see. Ones we're definitely going to try to make sure we're in front of a TV to watch. So, I guess we will do this, Slayton. I'll do one, you'll do one. We'll kind of just go back and forth, kind of give thoughts on the matchups that we give each other, basically. I guess we'll do it that way.
Sure.
So, my first matchup, this is actually one we're going to touch on our picks this week, and that's BYU versus Utah in the Royal Purple Vegas Bowl. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say, but yes, both of these teams have the same record at 9-3. BYU started season hot, dropped a couple. Utah started season hot and dropped a couple. So, these two teams have both had kind of the same season in a way, and both of these are very tough teams. They both fight. Obviously, being 9-3, they're both very good teams. And I think it's just a phenomenal matchup, Slayton.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love seeing that game between the Utah and BYU.
Yeah.
Just because it's the battle for Utah.
That is true. Everybody, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Everybody says it's always Utah, Utah State. And everybody forgets that Brigham Young's right there with them.
That is true.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this game.
This will probably be the one I watch this week.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you wouldn't watch this game.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be more intensity. Bronco Mendenhall, we know that he's leaving. He's going elsewhere.
Yep.
But I guarantee he wants to win the last one.
Oh, I guarantee.
Oh, yeah. So he's going to have his hands full with a Utah team that can run the field. So
they put up some points.
They can. But I'm looking forward to this game. It's going to be hard hitting.
All right. So what is your first one you got?
Well, I got the Outback Bowl. Yes, Northwestern and Tennessee.
Hey, good matchup.
Yeah, I really love the way that old man football meets new age football.
Sure.
Northwestern, they're going to come in. They're going to try to play smash mouth. Tennessee, they're going to be a little more dink and dunk. But I love watching how this is going to play out. Once again, number 13 Northwestern at 23 Tennessee. I know you've been ragging on Tennessee all year.
I have.
I believe Tennessee wins this one. I really do.
I think they do, too. I could see it for sure. I think Tennessee has upper hand. Northwestern, I believe, is a middle-of-the-road team. That's kind of where they're going to be for next season or two. And Tennessee looks like a team to be on the rise. I'm not saying they're a team on the rise because they ain't proved it to me yet. So, my next game is Indiana versus Duke in the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. One, this is played in a baseball stadium, so it's always kind of funky looking, which is kind of cool. They come out of the dugouts, so pretty cool, a little different. And Indiana, they played a lot of their teams in the Big Ten very close this year and had some chances in some games to upset some people. And then you got Duke. They're kind of the same way in the ACC. They were kind of up there, got screwed in a Miami game. That kind of ruined their season in a way. They kind of never picked it back up after that. But they still competed with a lot of their great teams. So these are two good teams that are almost to the top. They're like the number four, number three, you know what I'm saying? Like they're not up the top, but they're not in the bottom either. But they're not right in the middle either. They're a little bit over the middle, both of these teams in both of their divisions.
They're middle uppers.
Middle uppers. That's exactly the word I'm looking for. So I'm pretty excited for that one too.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see how Duke handles this Indiana team.
Me too.
Indiana, they like to run the football.
Physical.
And Duke, the way that they've been playing this last half of the season, they've been playing without heart.
Yeah.
So
they got it ripped out.
Well, Indiana might put it back in just so they can rip it out. They play tough football. That defense flies around the field. Great gap fitment. Look at these safeties for Indiana. They fly around.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good defensive game to watch. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah, so my next pick, I got the Alamo Bowl with Oregon and TCU. Two high-scoring offenses, a lot of points in this game. I look for TCU's defense to probably handle Oregon a little bit better than Oregon's defense handling TCU. But a lot of points in this game. Oregon, we're going to see if this fifth-year quarterback can finally put his mark on this game.
Yeah.
He hasn't done it all year. He really had not for me anyways. He had a few decent wins, but
– he ain't Marcus Mariota.
No. If he beats TCU in this bowl game, though, I mean, they've still got Boykin. They're right there in the mix
of
things.
Yeah, that would be an impressive win. You would have liked to have seen this one last year. That would have been a really nice one. But obviously, Oregon was in a playoff and TCU wasn't. But, hey, that's another great matchup. Next one I want to touch on is Baylor, number 10 North Carolina versus number 17 Baylor in the Russell's Athletic Bowl. Both these teams can score. Well, I should say North Carolina could score. I don't see Baylor being able to do much. But that D might be able to hold North Carolina down enough to keep Baylor in the game. So it'll be interesting to watch and see what Baylor does and see how North Carolina responds after taking a tough loss to Clemson in the ACC championship game after getting on a hot streak.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game. There's going to be a lot of good throws in this game.
For sure.
A lot of good throws.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say about that because that's going to be a good game. And I don't want to ruin my chances. I'm pretty sure I got an ongoing bet with this game.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So, yeah, my next game, I got the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Peach Bowl.
I got a quick question before I jump into this. Why are these bowl names so long? Why is it not just the Peach Bowl anymore?
Here comes the money.
I guess so.
Look, if they could sell these bowl names and have eight sponsors, have like the Royal Purple, Chick-fil-A, Walmart, Zaxby's, Arby's Bowl, they would do it.
Yeah, that's basically what they're doing anyways.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, number 18 Houston versus Florida State. I'm looking forward to seeing how this Houston team matches up with a big
– we'll get to see what the American Athletic Conference is really talking about.
Exactly. And Ward is perfect matchup to go against this Florida State team.
Yep.
Because he has a way of squirting out of the backfield and getting after it.
Mm-hmm.
And once he does, it's going to be great to see how this Florida State team responds. Ramsey is going to have to be on his P's and Q's on the edge because if he's not, it's going to be a big day for
Houston. I'm interested to see what Dalvin Cook does and – this will really show me the defensive level that the ACC has and what they can produce. This is a big moment for them. Even if it's not a playoff game, this can take that next step that if Houston, they're keeping their coach, got a new stadium, things are on up right now. So if they get a big win in a bowl game, if they go into Philly next year, a big bowl win like that could earn them a lot of respect next year. I know it's not supposed to roll over like that, but it does.
Oh, it definitely does. I guarantee you they take into account the coaching resumes of some of these teams. And Houston, don't get me wrong, that defense right now is stingy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be even better next year.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing this Houston team play in this bowl game. I really am.
Basically, this is a step towards next season.
It is.
It's not necessarily going to hurt them if they lose it necessarily. But it'd be a big first step. It kind of start them off a little bit with a head start next season, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they lose it, it's a par for the course.
Yeah.
But if they win it, boy, they took a giant leap forward.
Exactly.
And they beat one of these teams that's been in the national talk every year.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Hope they win it.
Yeah, that's a great one, Slayton. This one's interesting, too. We got Auburn versus Memphis in the Birmingham Bowl.
Let's go Memphis.
Memphis can score a lot. Auburn, they're an SEC team. So, this is kind of the same deal. Auburn, obviously not that great, but hey, look, Memphis beat a better SEC West team already this year. So, if they can beat two SEC West teams in the same season, even if it is Auburn and they're a little down, still impressive for Memphis. And if Houston and Memphis can win their bowl games against two Big Five opponents, especially Houston, man, American Athletic Conference might get taken a little more seriously next year, like we were just saying.
Oh, yeah, and we talked about this, I believe it was a couple shows ago, about how the American Conference could slot in on some of this Big 12 and Pac-12 action.
Yeah.
Because over the last few years, they've just been tearing each other apart. One of these smaller leagues are going to walk in and say, we're one of the big boys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. Really looking forward to see how the defense is playing this one.
Well, speaking of defense, I'll go ahead and give my last one, then we'll get your last two. Number 14, Michigan versus number 19, Florida. If you want defense, this is going to be the game. I don't know how Florida's offense is going to do. I expect with a little bit of time off, Coach Mack going to have some plays ready for Trayon. Some easy
plays.
Some trick plays, some easy dump-off plays. I see this one being low-scoring, hard-hitting, a lot of physical running the ball, and I cannot wait. Interesting matchup for me and my Gators.
Yeah, it's going to be a defensive hardship.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
what it is.
I agree.
It's going to be the same game Florida's been playing all year long.
Yeah.
I believe Florida wins this one.
This is the opponent that matches with Florida that they can actually handle.
Exactly. I'm going to jump into my last two here. I got the Fiesta Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to that. Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is an awesome matchup because I want to see if Notre Dame handles Ohio State.
That's a historic matchup, really.
Well, it is, but I believe that Ohio State has played a lot of down competition this year, and they've gotten the benefit of the doubt all year
and
long.
Notre Dame played some good competition this
they
year.
They played a lot of good competition.
Yeah.
So I want to see if Ohio State puts their money where their mouth is and says we're really one of the better teams.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, if you want to comment on that one, or I'll just go into the next one.
Hey,
all right.
A lot of history. I think it'll be a good one. Go Notre Dame.
Yeah. And then the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl is just historic in itself.
Yep.
I love the fact that Iowa sneaked into this one.
Me
I'm glad
too.
That Ohio State didn't. Stanford and Iowa, that is going to be a slobber
knocker. Yes.
I'm looking forward to this game.
A lot of hard hitting and a lot of running the ball.
Yes, and I mean, you're going to see Hogan get a few good plays in here.
You're going to see Beathard get a couple good plays.
Exactly. This is going to be a game of running the ball.
Yeah.
This is going to be 3 yards.
This one could go to overtime, I think.
It could. This could be one of those games they're like, man, why are we sitting at fourth overtime right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
And Stanford, Iowa, they both love to run the ball. They both play solid defense.
Mm.
Man, I'm looking forward to this. It's 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and we'll
yes,
see who comes
sir.
Up victorious.
And you know me and Slayton love the defense. So both of our last games that we just talked about right there are both going to be some good defenses. So let's go ahead and hump to the little bit last part of the show right here. Going to give you kind of the bowl rundown. Real quick, we're going to do some picks on some bowl games. We are going till Tuesday, and then we'll have our next show, and we'll basically just start from that Tuesday, from this upcoming Tuesday, I should say, and we'll basically go for that week of the bowl, and that's kind of how we're going to split up the bowl games. So once the playoffs gets pretty close, that's when we'll really dive into the playoffs, give our thoughts on all four of those teams and all that. Right now, we're trying to worry about the now right now.
Exactly. Living in the moment.
Living in the moment. So first game we got is on Saturday, December 19th, if you didn't know the date. And we got Arizona 6-6 versus New Mexico 7-5. This is the Gilden New Mexico Bowl. And it is on ESPN at 1 o'clock. Let's be honest. I don't really know that much about New Mexico. Actually, I have no absolutely positively idea nothing about New Mexico. And I know Arizona had Solomon, but he got hurt. They got Rich Rod, but looks like he might be on the out. A lot of teams look like they might be calling Rich Rod's name. And it's the New Mexico Bowl, Slayton. So I'm going to take New Mexico 24-17.
Yeah. See,
the Lobos.
I don't know much about New Mexico, but I know that they have been a non-factor over the last 5-6 years.
Or a century.
Yeah.
Since Brian Urlacher, basically.
Probably around there. Arizona, I know that they have been a factor in the last 5 years, so I'm going with Arizona.
I understand.
I got to go in 25-17. I think it's still close, but I got Arizona in this one.
Well, that's the first bowl game of the bowl season, and that's the first one we're picking different.
Yeah.
So hey, look, me and Slayton, we're trying, me or him, one of the two is going to win. The bowl game is going to make the difference in our records. We tied at the end of the regular season somehow. I don't know why. So these bowl games are crucial. Everyone we pick different. A lot rides on it, even though we have nothing riding on the bet whatsoever. So next bowl game we got, this one comes on ABC at 2:30. This is the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl. This is the one I said I was excited about earlier. BYU versus number 22, Utah. Both of these teams are 9-3. Slayton, this one was screaming Utah to me. I just feel like BYU, just after this tough season they've had, the road trips, they're probably worn down and their coach is on the outs. So you know that's kind of hard to deal with. But hey, BYU always has heart. So I'm going to give it to this one to them, 31-24.
Picking BYU in that one, huh?
Bang them.
Well, I'm with you. I believe that BYU, they've had such a tough year. I believe that if there is a mentally tough enough team to get through all of this, it's Brigham Young.
I agree.
However, I'm going Utah on this one because I believe that the prolific offense of Utah will be able to outman BYU in the long run.
Well, that's kind of why I was leaning towards Utah.
Yeah, I got it 27-21. final.
So two bowl games in and we're two different. I like it. I like it. I like it. So next one is the Raycom Media Camilla Bowl. This one comes on at 4:30 on ESPN. Got Ohio Bobcats 8-4 versus the Appalachian State Mountaineers. Are they Mountaineers?
I believe so.
Mountaineers at 10-2. I ain't gonna lie to y'all about this one. Some of these early bowl games kind of, I'm a big college football fan. I know a lot of stuff about a lot of teams. But some of these teams that slipped into these last early bowl games.
We're digging deep to find out some of these teams.
We're digging. I know Appalachian State has done some big things. And they're finally D1. They've been D1 for a little while now. And I just feel like Ohio never really does anything good. So I'm going to go Appalachian State 28-17.
Ooh, boy, I'm glad we're picking different.
Again?
Yes. I'm taking Ohio in this one. I believe the competition in the MAC is better than anything Appalachian's seen. Appalachian State, I haven't heard about them since they beat Michigan.
I know.
What was that, our freshman year of high school?
I know.
So, yeah, I've got Ohio in this one 21-7.
Three bowl games in. Three different. Man, this first week might make the difference, Lane. It really might.
Very well might.
It might. Hey, these sloppy games might end up being the difference in our records this year. It really might. So, got a couple more to get to real quick here. Next one, AutoNation. I think that's Care Bowl.
Yep.
Care Bowl. My pen must have went out. It looks like Cure Bowl. And I was like, that don't look right. AutoNation Care Bowl. San Jose State at Georgia State. Both these teams are not that good. San Jose State, 5-7. So they were one of those that got thrown in there because they didn't have enough people to fill. And Georgia State at 6-6, so they barely were eligible. I'm going to take Georgia State in this one, 20-17, because they actually earned their way and San Jose State didn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got Georgia State in this one, 21-14, and it's because Georgia State runs the ball effectively. They're going to get in and get out in this game, I promise you.
The only thing I know about Georgia State and San Jose State, they are some of the worst teams on NCAA 14. And by looks of their records, things have not changed in the past two seasons. So, next game we got here, I think this one might actually be a pretty good one. The R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. And that's Arkansas State, 9-3 versus Louisiana Tech, 8-4. Louisiana Tech is where the former quarterback of Florida Gators, I should say, Trev Driscoll went. So that's why I'm going to pick against them. Arkansas State, 37-30.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one.
The Red Wolves.
Yeah.
Like we NWO Wolfpacking here.
Arkansas State, they know how to put up points, and they do it effectively.
Yes, they do.
I've got Arkansas State winning this one 31-17, and it's going to probably be an ugly win.
I think so, too, and I think you're starting to copy off my sheet.
No. If we picked the first three different.
I know, but I think you already had the first three filled out before you got here.
Yeah, whatever.
And then you came here and you copied off my paper.
No, that didn't happen.
Okay, so those were all the games that are coming on Saturday. We got two weekday games to touch on real quick. Monday, we have the Miami Beach Bowl. I believe that this one comes on ESPN2. About 7 o'clock because they have Monday Night Football, obviously, for NFL. So, got West Kentucky versus South Florida. West Kentucky 11-2, South Florida 8-4. I got to take Western this one because I know a lot more about Western. South Florida, they've had a kind of up-and-down season. Still end up getting a pretty good record. But I just think Western just has too much for South Florida, 38-14.
Yeah, I'm with you for that very reason. I've watched Western all year long.
Yep.
Don't know much about South Florida. But what I do know is Doty puts up points.
Yes, sir.
I got a final score of 42-21 in this one.
So we're agreeing on that one, too. And the last one we're going to touch on real quick, Slayton, is Tuesday. We got the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. I would imagine this one probably comes on ESPN or ESPN2 at 7. I would like to say I didn't write the last two down for some reason. I don't know why. But we got how do you pronounce this one, Slayton?
Akron.
I knew I was saying it wrong. Akron versus Utah State. Akron 7-5, 6-6. This Potato Bowl, Slayton, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. It's my favorite named one, I think, like as far as name-wise, because it's the funniest and it kind of has the best roll of the tongue. I'm just randomly going to take Akron 23-13 because both these teams are random.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked that one that way because I'm going Utah State. And if you're a bet man, you take my bet on this one.
Okay. So that'd be your lock of the week.
Yeah, that's my lock of the week.
Okay.
Utah State's going to wipe the floor with Akron.
Ooh, okay.
Akron, not going to be there long.
The Zips.
Yeah, 27-7. Yeah, it's going to get ugly, folks. If you're going to watch this one, I'd watch the first half.
Yeah, and then turn it over and watch some college basketball if you really want to, if you're really craving some sports. So, Slayton, obviously a lot shorter show than we're used to, but...
Hold on. Are we not touching on the Marmot Boca Raton Bowl?
I'm like, huh? No, we are not touching on that bowl. But like I said, a little condensed version of the show. Next week will probably be a little bit longer, more what you're used to. If some of these sloppy matchups end up being good games and some people end up showing out stat-wise, we might deep review two or three of these. But just to be honest with you people, we really don't want to deep review some of these games that nobody cares about and nobody really knows about. But like I said, if two or three of them being pretty good, we'll get deep in them. If not, we'll just roll on to and review the rest of our games. So thank you for tuning in to the 10 for 10 U. Once again, make sure to be safe on all your travels while you're holiday shopping. Make sure to be respectful to each other. And go Gators.
Hook 'em.